It is a Wednesday afternoon. This is the closing market report for the fourth day of March. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason. Jackie Vakes from Stuart Peterson from here in Champaign County joins us to look at what's been happening in the marketplace. Jackie, thank you so much for being with us. The first thing on the agenda, I suppose, is the all-day ag outlook and next week's USDA report. Those two happen to coincide.
Do, and so it's going to be a very interesting day considering that we're going to be on Eastern time and the USDA report comes out at 11 o'clock Central time, so that means when everybody's eating lunch over there at the Outlook, that's when we'll be getting all the numbers. I think it's great that you move the corn and the bean panels both to the afternoon, so it gives us the ability to really talk about what's going on. You know, from a volatility standpoint, that it's never usually the March one isn't much because we've got the acreage report coming at the end of the month. But you know, this year you just don't know what to think. So it should be a great day. A lot of good things on the agenda.
Indeed, there are. You'll be there along with another 11 of your compadres. Those are regular analysts on the air with us. Actually, another dozen of those, including Sue Martin, who's on at the Daily at the noon hour. She's going to have a keynote along with a keynote address on livestock from Chris Hurt a bit later in this program today. In fact, we'll hear from Chris Hurt about the boom and bust cycle for prices in livestock, particularly the pork market, and where it is at this point because those futures have dropped sharply. And then Murray Wise will be there too. So if you want to get your tickets, you can do that at 217-333-7300 or online at willag.org. The other important thing that's been happening now that we're into our fourth day of March, farmers are quickly making their crop insurance decisions. What kinds of things have you been talking to your producers about?
Well, you know, we've been talking about the actualities, I guess is the best word, you know, as far as do beans really pencil better than corn? You know, that's a really good question. You know, if you're just someone who is used to looking at the ratio on the screen, you know, you'd have to say, well, it looks as if beans are better than corn. But when you look at the actual bean insurance price versus the corn insurance price, and then I'll give you an example. I use $200 per acre more to plant corn. That's probably high, you know, because inputs have gone down somewhat, but I'm going to leave it that way until somebody tells me I'm totally wrong. And I ran this example with one of my northern guys, and beans there, November beans are currently 87 under, corn futures are 47 under. That $200 per acre costs him an extra $1.07 for corn. He has a 52 bushel average for beans and 187 bushel average for corn, and corn, even with $1.07 extra, returns him 25 bushels or $25.23 per acre more. You know, if you looked at, in order for beans to be equivalent with corn, using the $200 extra to plant that corn, beans should be $10.22 right now. So, you know, this says to me that when you're the farmer, this is what you're looking at. You're not just looking at the ratio on the board of between November beans and corn. You're actually looking at what your costs are. And it says that maybe we'll have more corn acres than we thought we would.
That would be something to see in the survey on the prospective plantings date March 31st for sure.
That's exactly right. You know, I really think our greatest opportunity for loss is over in the, you know, in the Iowa where you have a lot of corn on corn. But traditionally, they've never cut more than maybe 4 to 5% of those acres any given year. And so, you know, it'll be interesting. Can't wait till the end of the month to find out, to be honest with you.
Things that have been happening this week that I want to talk about. We've discussed a lot about the roadblocks that have been taking place in Brazil. But there are just a ton of items out of South America related to exports of both corn and soybeans and their safrinha corn crop. Maybe you can start with farmers and their sales.
Farmers in Brazil?
Yes.
Well, you know, when you look at the farmer in Brazil, the roadblocks look to be pretty much clearing up, although they're talking that there could be they could resume it again on the 10th of March if the government doesn't follow through. Big problem they've had is that there was no central person that they could even negotiate with. And the country is so big. I mean, you know, you saw the pictures I showed. You know, the country of Brazil is as big as the United States. Pretty hard to communicate. Farmer selling has really picked up, though, down there. And their safrinha corn, you know, they are definitely having issues because about 50% of it right now is going to be planted outside of the really good time frame. But even more so, the Brazilian real hit a 10-year low versus the U.S. dollar today. And the dollar, by the way, hit the highest it's been since 2003. It went above that 96.04 that we've talked before, which is the 50% retracement of the 121.29 high down to the 70.80.5 low. And so, you know, the question comes to mind is there a good reason for a Brazilian farmer to want to keep planting lots of corn? Beans are still by far the most profitable both in Brazil and in Argentina, and had a great opportunity at the Ag Forum, Todd, to be able to listen to somebody talk about an Argentinian who talked about Argentina, and he basically characterized it as a mess, is what he said. You know, so you know, Argentina, they're actually looking to halt sales for 3 days approximately, and I think they're just piggybacking off of Brazil's roadblocks. You know, so you know, Brazil's already said to them, no money if you hold beans. All silo bag sales now need to be reported to the tax agency. So they're really cracking down on these guys. But this Argentinian gave us some really interesting information, and I think our listeners would appreciate it. Ag is 30% of the GDP in Argentina, and inflation, according to this guy, has been 40% year on year. Can you picture that?
Hmm.
This Ag Forum guy, he laid it out the way it is for a bean farmer down there. He said if the CME was at 980, the export tax would take 375. The exchange rate, because they do not have a fluid market, in other words, the peso does not trade against the U.S. dollar the way that we would expect it to. The government takes $3 there per bushel. Elevator, usually there's a 25-cent premium, but then the elevator's got a 30-cent charge, so he gives up a nickel there. And this leaves the farmer with a gross of $3 per bushel. Now, wow, that doesn't sound too great. But at the same time, if you are the owner of land, You have a real estate tax of 15% that you have to pay. If you rent the landlord normally gets 30% of the yield, which now leaves the farmer with 70% of the crop at $3. Average yield down there is 29 bushel to the acre. That's $87 an acre, gross, compared to the U.S. And then if anything remains after all that, your personal income tax is 33%. Was there ever a reason, Todd, why we want to have the kind of government that we have? I mean, you know, I mean, in terms of the freedoms that we have here, I mean, let's take it. You know, this is tax on tax on tax on tax, and it's very sad. And so, you know, when you look at, this is the bottom line. Let's look at next. You know, they're being paid off of May right now because they're harvesting right now, right?
Right.
And so, let's look at May of 2016. Corn is at 429 and a quarter. Take that times approximately 25%, you know, and that's about the most they can expect. That's $1.07 an acre, $1.07 a bushel that it leaves them. And if you look at May beans, you're looking at 983 times 25% approximately.
Mm-hmm.
That leaves 245 a bushel, right?
Right.
So says the prospects for corn and wheat down in Argentina are not very good, and the expansion of beans is very high. Even though it's a crappy return, you know, they can do some things because they can piggyback crops to help add to it. But this is something serious. There's no question about that, and it definitely says to me what I believe is very true, and that is we will continue to be number one in corn production and everything, but South America is going to come back, and they're going to come back and be number one in beans. There's no question. And
USDA is saying that will be the case. We'll talk more about that probably, too, during our All Day Ag Outlook. Hey, thanks for being with us today. I do appreciate it.